Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. You can always join the show. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder to download the fabulous and free Civic Media app, and then you can listen to all the shows across all the stations all across the state. Todd Allbaugh's show coming up right after us. He's wonderful from 12 to 2, and then the Maggie Dawn show from 2 to 4 p.m. Very excited to have with us in studio from Versity, Colleen McCarthy is here. Good to see you again, Colleen. Thank you so much for coming in. Wanted to talk about a release that I saw a couple of weeks ago. Both chambers of Wisconsin legislature have passed significant legislation to allow Wisconsin residents to join the Wisconsin Organ Donor Registry. And all you have to do is opt in when you file your Wisconsin income tax form. That's pretty great.
It is. This is such an amazing way to engage more people in Wisconsin to join the registry. So currently, most people, when they sign up to be an organ donor, they do that at the DMV.
Yep.
But your license is only renewed every 8 years. And so there's all this missed opportunity for somebody to think about organ donation. So with this bill, this now gives people a yearly reminder to think about organ donation and to, you know, give the best gift you possibly can. Sign up to be a donor.
Seriously, Colleen, can you tell us approximately how many people are on waiting lists?
Yeah, you know, there are over 100,000 people across the country waiting for an organ and almost 2,000 in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And those patients that are waiting, they are just desperately sick. And they are so hopeful and desperate for a second chance at life. So every single opportunity that we have to promote organ donation and to inspire people to sign up, it is so important.
I think a lot of people always assume that it's all hearts. Everybody needs a heart. But there's many, many, many other organs that can be used. Because as the daughter of a mortician, I can say this with some authority, you're not going to need them later.
That's true.
Just not.
You know, the majority of people that are waiting for a transplant are waiting for a kidney. And so in order to keep those patients alive, they have to be on dialysis. And that's such a difficult lifestyle.
Yes.
To be on dialysis daily or every other day. And it's just debilitating for people. So the biggest need is for kidneys.
But now that's something that people don't have to wait, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have two kidneys.
Right, right.
And so if you have two healthy kidneys, that's something. I'm sure there's a kidney donor registration. That might be separate.
Right.
Right?
You're right, absolutely right. It is separate, but it still is an opportunity. You can be a living donor. And, you know, for every patient that we get off that transplant waiting list, that just only helps more people get that second chance. So there is an opportunity to be a living donor by working with your local transplant program to say, hey, I want to donate a kidney. And they will make sure that this is a safe option for you. But the other option that Versity Blessed Center Wisconsin oversees is deceased organ donation. And so, you know, it is so important that any way we can raise awareness through living donation or deceased donation is just so important.
And what amazes me, too, as I've talked to various people about this over the years, you can use everything from eyes to corneas to skin, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's nothing has to get wasted.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, one tissue donor can help over 75 people. And one of the main utilizations of tissue donation is recovered skin is used for breast reconstruction after mastectomy. So
really?
All these women that have suffered debilitating cancer and have, you know, breast cancer survivors, many of them can have a reconstruction surgery, and that comes from a tissue donor.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
We just got a text from Chris in Janesville who said our close friend's son passed and was able to donate 5 organs.
Wow.
So important.
So important.
That was hard to read. Wow.
Oh, okay. And I got to say, these donor families, that text you just got, these donor families are so incredibly generous. And, you know, in the middle of devastating loss, in the middle of grief and crisis of losing their loved one unexpectedly, they think of others and they say yes. And that is such a gift that these families will allow their loved ones to live on in others. And the peace and comfort that it gives these donor families down the road, again, this is so helpful for them. It's helpful for patients, but it also helps these families get through some really difficult grief.
I bet. I bet it really helps in the healing.
Mm-hmm. It does.
To know that your son or your wife or your is living on.
Yes.
A part of them is living on and bringing joy and a fulfilling life to others.
Their legacy lives on.
Right.
Yes, it's amazing.
That's wonderful.
Example.
Mm-hmm. Colleen McCarthy is our guest. She's with Versity Wisconsin, and we're talking about organ donation. And now, is it still being waiting? Are we still waiting for Governor Evers to sign off on this?
That's right. That's the next step.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this measure passed both houses. Oh, my God. We actually got something done bipartisanly. but this happens.
Yes.
This does happen.
Yes.
And we like to have, we like to highlight things where both sides can actually come together and do something. I don't know. That's good for everybody.
Yes.
So that's great. So what this will do is allow Wisconsin residents to sign up to the organ donor registry just when you file your Wisconsin income tax forms. So we're waiting for the governor to sign it. So this would then kick in maybe next year.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. And Wisconsin really has a long history of supporting organ donation that the legislature does. Going back to when Tommy Thompson was governor, the governors since then do an annual gift of life ceremony for all the Wisconsin organ donors from the prior year. So just years and years of support in Wisconsin. It's a beautiful legacy again to these donor families.
Is this something, Colleen, that's less hush-hush, that people are less, that you factor, that people are more willing to talk about this?
You know, I think that's been part of the problem that we've seen our organ donation registry flat for several years. It's not always necessarily a fun topic to talk about. And so, you know, really the decision to be a donor is part of your, you know, end of life planning, your health, you know, your advanced healthcare planning, what you want to happen after you're no longer here. And so that's not a pleasant topic. And so we just want to highlight, you know, the need for organ donation and focus on that and what an easy gift that you can leave behind.
Well, and you said something very important. And I hate to be, no, I'm it's my job to be the killer of joy. You have to write it down. It has to be either on your driver's license, because I'm an organ donor, and so I have the little dot on it that says that I'm an organ donor, or it needs to be in your will, because tragically, this does happen. After some people die, their family decides they want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
And there's nothing stating the fact that you wanted this
right
thing.
So you absolutely need to be very precise about this and make sure that it's all done legally so that your wishes are followed. And again, we've talked to, we have a friend who's a lawyer who Joe McClure.
Yes.
Who we've talked to about setting up plans for, you know, estates and as you age. And these are hard discussions, but it's the circle of life, baby. It is.
Yeah,
you're right. And, you know, it's one less decision that your family needs to make at a very difficult time. So it can take that burden off a family to make that decision while they're dealing with so many other difficult things in the middle of sadness. So it eases burden for your family too.
So we talk about the difficult decisions when someone decides, or they're in the decision-making process to donate an organ while they're still alive. Of course, you know, I mean, I've had it on my cart since I could drive, and I don't have to worry about it when I'm gone. But if I'm looking to donate something, what are the biggest myths or concerns that people are faced with, or they're thinking going into it, and how do you dispel them? Because, you know, you're giving up a kidney or giving up whatever, and people might be scared of that. That I think that's one of the reasons why the conversation is hard. People are just scared of the unknown.
Oh, you're right. That's a great question. You know, one of the things that we consistently hear is, if I sign up to be a donor and I'm admitted to a hospital after a terrible accident, will they save me, or will they let me die so that my organs can be used for someone else? And that's a fear that we hear.
I didn't know that.
I didn't.
All.
That would never have crossed my mind.
Oh my gosh.
And I think that speaks to, you know, lack of trust in healthcare systems. So I think, you know, the lack of trust impacts organ donation. Disparities in healthcare impact organ donation as well, unfortunately. And so we just have to keep reassuring people that every effort is made to save your life. That's the goal. That's always the goal. And and this only happens after all those efforts have been exhausted.
Yeah.
And if that were happening, I think we'd be hearing a lot more of organ donations. They're up 100%.
Yeah.
Right.
What? And and I lost my cousin who just had asthma.
Meanwhile, lots of dead people
from asthma. But you know, it reminds me of the movie Coma. This is going back a long, long time ago, but that was the premise. They intentionally put people into comas so they could harvest their organs. That doesn't happen, people.
It does not.
Does not happen.
No.
And Chris from Janesville, who shared that their close friends whose son passed, they were able to donate 5 organs. Chris wanted us to honor Connor, Nikki, and Brad.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Question from a texter from the 262. What happens to the rest of the body after the selected organs get removed?
After organ recovery occurs at the hospital in the operating room, the organ donor is reconstructed. And so families can have a funeral of their choice. They can have a viewing. They can proceed with their usual, what the family wants for their closure. So organ and tissue donation does not impact a viewing, and families can still have that closure.
I had no idea. I always assumed it would automatically be cremation, but that's not accurate.
No, not at all. Not at all. Families can have that, you know, that final goodbye in any manner that they want with organ and tissue donation.
Colleen McCarthy is our guest from Versity, and we're talking about organ and tissue donation and how important it is, and a new bipartisan measure in Wisconsin that has now gone to Governor Evers' desk that would allow folks to sign up to be an organ donor when you file your Wisconsin income taxes, which I think is great. Catherine from Madison, listening here on WAUK. Jane, does organ donation cost the donor family any money?
Oh, another great question. And no. The costs associated with the evaluation for organ donation and tissue donation does not, the family does not incur any of that. The recovery organizations do. And so again, there's not a financial disincentive for families to say yes to donation. That is covered, and hopefully that's not a barrier for families at all.
If you have a question for Colleen, please feel free to call or text it in at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. Okay, here's my question, Colleen, because I'm an organ donor, and I have not necessarily lived the healthiest of lifestyles. So what if they open me up and it's like, yeah, none of this is good?
You know, that's a good
put
question
back.
Too.
Yeah.
Put her back, send her away.
You know, a lot of people make assumptions that they may not be able to be an organ donor based off of their health history, but that's not the case. There's such a desperate need that patients that are waiting for a transplant can accept organs that may not be in perfect condition.
Really?
So for example, we can recover and transplant organs safely that from donors that have HIV. The oldest organ donor in the country was 96 years old.
Seriously?
Yeah, and so there's very, very, very few medical rule-outs for organ donation. The biggest rule-out is that in order to be a deceased organ donor, you have to pass away in a hospital on a ventilator. And that's the main reason why there's so few organ donors, because of that criteria.
Okay, can you stay for another segment?
Yes,
wonderful.
Of course.
Again, if you have a question for Colleen, please text it in, 855-75-CIVIC. We will continue this conversation about the importance of organ and tissue donation and how both sides of the island, Wisconsin, agreed on something. I get to go lay
they
down.
They did it.
I know. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on... What could we have to call? Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in gorgeous downtown Waukesha. You are always welcome to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. Our guest is Colleen McCarthy. She's the vice president of Versity, and we're talking about organ and tissue donation and a new measure that both sides of the aisle in Wisconsin came together on. And is now on Governor Evers' desk that will allow people to sign up to be an organ donor when they file their Wisconsin income taxes. Not going to happen this year. Hopefully that will happen next year. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Did you have a question for Colleen?
Good morning. A question and a quick comment. Long time ago, I signed up for the bone, where they draw your bone marrow for patients that have leukemia and such, blood diseases. And do I have to periodically tickle these folks, because I have yet to be contacted or sampled or anything? And on that note, I am part of, and I encourage anybody and everybody out there, join all of us. It is a wonderful, wonderful genetics documenting program, and it's totally anonymous, which feeds into all of this stuff. We're all in this together, right?
Yep.
So if someone could explain the bone marrow, how that works, the network, you know, do people that sign up for it have to continually tickle the donor center to make sure that they know you're still actively, you want to be a contributor? So any help on that would be really cool. Thanks, folks. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for that question. You know, you must be speaking of the National Bone Marrow Registry Program, and that's not something that our blood center coordinates, but it still is another way to help patients across the world receive a bone marrow transplant that have a cancer. And it's my understanding, and I'm not the expert on this, but it's my understanding that those matches are very rare. So it's also my understanding is that once you register and you provide your sample in your genetic typing, that you're in the registry for good. And so there may be some medical rule outs that I'm not aware of. There may be some age criteria that I'm not aware of, but I don't believe that once, that you need to contact them again once you're in the registry. But, yes, that is the National Bone Marrow Registry that has just a different set of medical criteria than organ and tissue donation do.
Colleen, we're going to go back to, we were talking about this right before the break. I missed what Colleen said about the main reason organs are not accepted is, and then it was tied to a ventilator. Let's go back to that.
Oh, sure. So in the United States, there are almost 3 million deaths every single year, but last year there was only 16,000 deceased organ donors. So very, very, very small percentage of deaths can result in organ donation. And the main reason is, in order to be considered an organ donor, a person has to pass away in a hospital on a ventilator. And so when a person is on a ventilator, their body is getting oxygen, even though that they no longer have any brain function and can be declared brain dead. If they're on a ventilator, getting oxygen, and their heart is still perfusing, that is the main criteria for organ donation.
Okay.
So that manner of death just does not occur frequently at all. And that is the main criteria to be an organ donor.
This is going to seem like a really strange question, but can I, if I'm in the hospital and I know I'm dying and I'm really sick, can I ask them to put me on a ventilator so they can take my organs?
You know, there are some other criteria besides being on a ventilator. In order for brain death to occur, there has to be there's a devastating injury to the brain function, a lack of oxygen potentially. And so brain death is very strict criteria that all function of the brain no longer exists. And so that's what brain death criteria is. In order to be a donor, you either have to be declared brain dead or suffer a significant neurological injury. And so typically patients that are alert and on a ventilator are may not be good candidates, the right candidates for organ donation. And again, because this stuff is complicated and there's medical criteria,
sure,
we always encourage people, you sign up and it'll be our responsibility as a recovery organization to do that careful evaluation. And we know that every single donor is so critical. One donor can save and help so many people. And so we are so careful and thoughtful about ensuring that we can put this incredible gift to use. We will find a recipient that's a good match. All you have to do is just say yes.
Jack from Merrimack has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for your patience. Did you have a question for Colleen?
No, just a statement to kind of reinforce what you said earlier. I will be 80 this year. And I've been on the organ donation list, Lordy, probably since I've been in my 20s. Fortunately for me, I haven't been available for donations. at 80, my doctor tells me I still have a number of pretty good parts. no matter, the point I want to make is, and reinforce this, no matter how old you are, even if you haven't signed up before, sign up. Yeah. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost your relatives anything. And it could save or rather improve or increase another person's life just dramatically.
Absolutely, Jack. You're absolutely right. And thank you. Thank you so much for listening and for checking in with us. And I think if you are an organ donor and you die and you're not on a ventilator, it's like, that's unfortunate that your intention was there, but that is not the protocol. But nothing is lost. Right?
Right, right.
I mean, you're not, you don't lose anything by signing up to be an organ donor. You really don't.
It's still the best, it's best to, I don't want to say take the chance, but if you just put that dot on your license or you tick that box next year on your taxes, you at least know you're given an opportunity, you're given a chance to do it. So I think it's very important. I don't know. I think everyone should do it. Everyone, I was telling you before, I have a friend of mine who's looking for a kidney and we're trying to find somebody and there's hesitation, even in myself, because my thought is, If I give him, if it works, what happens if?
What happens if my other kidney fails?
What if, yeah, or what yep. if my wife needs a kidney? What if my mother needs a kidney? And, you know, it, so you have to deal with those things. But at the end of the day, I think it's important to be on that list. And if you can give, give. Donate.
We have a couple more people that are on the line, and I also have some questions on the text line. If you can spare a couple of more minutes, Colleen.
Of course.
That would be great. Colleen McCarthy is our guest. She is talking about organ and tissue donation. I see you on the line. Please hang on. We have news coming up next. We'll get to your questions on the text line as well. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Give us a call or shoot us a text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Shout out to everybody in beautiful La Crosse listening on WLCX The Eagle. Thank you for joining us. Bad eagle. And the last time we played it, somebody said that wasn't an eagle, it was a hawk.
Yeah, and way to be a fun time killer, bro.
Actually, an eagle and a hawk.
So we'll have to find an accurate eagle sound effect for that.
I mean, Sam the Eagle.
Put that on your list.
Sam the Eagle from the Muppets. There you go.
Colleen McCarthy is our guest. She is with Versity, and we're talking about organ and tissue donation. And this, after a couple of weeks ago, Wisconsin's congressional leaders, gosh, they agreed, and they signed a bill that will allow people to file to be an organ donor when you file your Wisconsin income taxes. Governor Evers is on the governor's desk now. Hopefully that will get signed, and then next year this will go into effect. But if you have a question about organ donation, tissue donation, here's your chance, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sec, thank you so much for your patience, Mark. Good morning. Do you have a question for Colleen?
No problem. And let's not forget the other, not really an organ, but the donation that's needed, so desperately needed a lot of times, because I needed it desperately when I was doing my chemo and my various surgeries, is blood. And that's something that people can donate without having to die to donate.
Yeah. It's like you said, Mark, and you can donate pretty regularly, too.
Yes, you can. I'm so glad you brought that up, Mark. You know, every 2 seconds in the country, somebody needs a blood transfusion. So it is something that people can do now and can make a really big impact. And when we do organ transplants, the surgeons, they need to transfuse blood, especially during these liver transplants, too. So, you know, to help patients with cancer, to help patients with organ failure, you know, many traumatic injuries, blood donation is something that you can do now. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you so much, Mark.
I believe you can donate every 8 weeks whole blood, every 16 weeks what I do, which is called a dual red, which is a longer process, but very, very helpful. And I'm going to share with the listeners and the viewers right now what someone at Versity told me when I came back. He said, if everybody who is available, eligible to donate blood, gave once a year, there would never be a shortage. where I constantly get messages from groups saying we have a shortage of blood. We need your help, especially in times of crisis, yep. but on the regular, always need it. If everybody, not special blood, anybody, anyone who's available, eligible, if you gave once a year, there would be no shortage. Think about that.
That's really something.
Yeah.
That is.
And I know, and you know, I think it has less to do with scared and more to do with, I don't know, I've never done it, and time. Doesn't take that much time. It can do it on a Saturday or a Sunday if they're open. If you're giving whole blood, you'll probably be there for maybe an hour.
Yep.
And this is not a reason to do it, but a lot of times they have some fun prizes there too.
They have t-shirt. Snacks.
Oh my God. I've seen so many string cheeses there.
If you need a snack.
Yes.
Go give some blood and yes. you can get a nice little snack after you donate.
Cookies and eat all those foods you're not supposed to use.
Tom from Jackson has been waiting. Thank you for your patience, Tom. Did you have a question for Colleen?
Well, I think she answered some of them, but I too have my driver's license endorsed. And is there anything else I need to do to make sure that, you know, I'd be able to donate, you know, say if I'm in a car wreck or something like that, or will it automatically happen, or is there more stuff I need to sign that's something that's not really clear to me?
Oh, good
I'd
question.
I'd also like to point out, too, is I donate blood, too, but at least the Red Cross, they're very picky. If your blood pressure is over a certain point, they don't want it, which to me is amazing. Mm.
Well, they probably don't want to kill you, Tom. I'm just saying, it looks bad. You know, it looks bad. You go in to donate blood, and your blood pressure's skying, and all of a sudden, they take it anyway, and you don't make it.
Yeah,
that's a tough sell. Yeah.
You know, the Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin, we want to make sure that our blood donors are healthy, and we take really good care of them. We give them a good experience so they come back, because what Greg said is true. There's just a desperate need, and donating blood now can help so many patients. And so, you know, I would point out too that when you donate with our blood center, Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin, we are the main supplier of blood to hospitals in our service area. So that means your blood is impacting your community.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I think it's so important to consider that as well. And your first question, as long as you sign up on the organ donation registry, you don't need to do anything else. But it is important, though, to let your family know. We always encourage people, let your family know you made a decision.
Yes.
So they have awareness. But once you sign up on the registry, that decision is made. And we do appreciate that.
But as you said, you have to talk to the loved ones, and if you can put it in your will, that's even better.
Yeah.
So that you know that your wishes are going to be followed. Mm-hmm. Because again, sometimes people make decisions after you're gone that you might not necessarily be happy about. We did have a question on the text line. Andrew from Maine, it sounds like traumatic deaths like a car accident is unlikely to result in a donation. Is that accurate?
Well, actually, if the car accident happens and the patient is able to be transferred to a hospital and arrive to the emergency room and stabilized, organ donation can happen then.
It can.
Yep. If the death does occur in the field after a car accident, there still could be an option for tissue donation.
Okay.
So that's really important too.
But it is important to remember that in order for hearts and livers and things like that, the body still has to be functioning. There still has to be oxygen flowing through and everything in order to keep the organs alive.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Linda from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Linda. Thank you so much for calling. Did you have a question for Colleen?
Yeah, I just have a question. I have a prepaid thing as far as a cremation. And part of that policy is that wherever I die, that the body will be transported to the cremation center. Now, how does donating an organ fit in with that?
Oh, good question.
Thank you. You want to listen off the air, Linda?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for listening.
So the organ and tissue donation will not interfere with any of your plans. And so the recovery, the tissue or organ recovery typically happens at the hospital where somebody passes away. And then the funeral home would transport the body to the funeral home that you have arranged. And so tissue donation, organ donation will not interfere with any of your plans that you've made.
855-75-CIVIC if you have a question. 855-752-4842. Good morning, Stephen from Green Bay. Did you have a question for Colleen about organ donation?
I don't have a question. I have more of a comment. But I will say that I have been an organ donor since I've been old enough to hold a driver's license.
Good for you.
I think it's very important. With that being said, I just want to tell you that blood donation is very important. My brother-in-law had cancer, had leukemia, and the leukemia actually ruined a lot of his platelets, so he had to get multiple blood transfusions just to live. So it's not just people that are in severe accidents. People with cancer actually need this blood as well to stay alive through their treatment. So I just wanted to share that with everybody.
That's a great point, Stephen. Thank you so much. And there are all kinds of people who are fighting all different kinds of cancers, tragically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing, too, for people who have never given blood, and I've been doing this a long time, the phlebotomists are absolute pros. Mm-hmm. I swear, if you're afraid of needles, I have a sister who's afraid of needles. Nobody's like, oh, good, a needle.
Yeah.
But still, they are so smooth. You will barely feel a thing, and you get snacks.
You look away. That's what they do. They always tell you, you know, to look away. And I never do. I always because
you like to watch.
I've been. Say that.
Well, it's a needle.
But the way you say that, you're like, well, yeah. Because I've been doing it for so long now, I know exactly. I always tell them, it's my left arm. It's right here.
That's where
there's the vein.
The good vein.
And the good vein, they're always like, there it is. And I always watch it happen. And it's a little, it's a tight and it's a sting, but yeah. It goes away. And then you're pumping away and you're doing your thing and it's great. And then you watch a TV show on your phone or fall asleep. And the other thing about the people I've worked with now is adversity for so long is that they're also very fun and nice. You crack a joke, they'll smile with you. They're always coming to check on you. And then they're like, go grab a snack. We're mostly about snacks here. Matt and Aaron there. We have great snacks. So I cannot encourage you more to do it. Take a friend, make an afternoon out of it. And then afterwards.
Take a friend who's never done it.
Yeah. Get a good meal. Give some blood, wait a few hours, and then maybe sit at home safely and have a mimosa to celebrate yourself. You don't have to drink alcohol. Just drink orange juice. I don't care. But go donate blood and make yourself an organ donator.
Well, what you said was so impactful, just about if every person who could donate did it just once a year, just once, friends. Mm-hmm. That's nothing.
That is mind-blowing.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. And it's quick and it's simple and it's easy and you're helpful. I get equal parts worked up and emotional because I'm like, it's just so easy to do it.
Calvin is our resident young person here in the building. Calvin, I'm curious whether or not you or your friends, do you guys ever talk about at least blood donation? Is that something? They're not thinking about organ.
24 year old.
He's 24. He's not thinking about organ donations, but what about blood?
I can't say it's something that comes up very often.
Good. I'm sorry.
I donated once in high school.
Good.
And
it was a fine experience. I haven't made time to do it since.
We would love to have you come down to our Waukesha Donor Center. We can make sure that it's a good experience for you, that, you know, our phlebotomists, they really do take care of our donors. And you know, especially for people that may be a little hesitant about a needle, we can help you get through that. Yeah. We would love to help you get through that.
Oh, Calvin, I think we need to organize a day trip for you and like five of your buddies. And we'll go to Versity and have a party.
I could actually take it up a notch there. I don't know if this is what Versity does, but this is what I used to do when I worked at the city of Racine. I used to organize blood drives. That's really fun.
That's real. That's a really important component too, isn't it, Colleen?
Yes, yes. You know, we work with, we serve our Wisconsin community, the hospitals that count on us for blood donation. We have a lot of connections in the communities. And so we can host mobile blood drives at these communities. Or the other thing that we could do is set up what we call a donor center takeover. So your company, your organization can be at the donor center, which is, you know, wonderful facilities, comfortable facilities, and you can promote your organization with all of our blood donors too. So we can do center takeovers, or we can go to your organization and set up a mobile drive there too.
That's a great idea.
Two things for Andrew from Maine on the live stream. Greg, so are you suggesting that Versity could offer snacks for organ donations to help increase the number of kidneys in inventory? No, I'm not saying any of that. That sounds wholly illegal and unethical. So I'm just going to say, if you go donate blood, they'll give you some cookies or some juice or some fruit snacks or cheese. I go for the cheese every time. And then finally, and I love this idea, can Calvin donate live on air?
Calvin.
No pressure, our RCP resident young person, or RYP.
I'll have to start working on my hydration levels because that is a problem for me.
Oh, you're saying squirt isn't an official hydration level?
Squirt does not adequately hydrate you.
Colleen, we're just about out of time. If anyone would like to find out more about registering or just about Versity or donating blood, where can they go? We'll put it in the show notes after the show's over.
Oh, wonderful. Please visit Versity.org to learn about our blood donation and organ and tissue donation. And then if you want to sign up on the registry in Wisconsin, you can go to DonateLifeWisconsin.org.
Well, again, we'll put all of those in our show notes. It takes about an hour and a half to get those posted after the show ends. Colleen McCarthy from Versity, thank you so very, very much for
it's
your time.
Wonderful.
It has been wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for bringing this topic to discussion. And I would really like to thank two people that have made this bill possible. First, I'd like to thank Senator Joan Ballweg and then also Representative Angie Sapik. You know, the leadership that those two have displayed and all the leadership of the legislature and the Department of Revenue to make the tax bill come to this far in the process. We are just so grateful for their support and really appreciate it. It's going to save lives.
Thank you for getting things done on behalf of all Wisconsin. That's wonderful. All right, stay close. When we return, a little Oscars talk that's on the way. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can join us at our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. They have their own party going on over on the live stream.
I know.
On Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Always great to see everybody interacting. And thank you so much for all the calls and all the texts and all the questions for Colleen, who is here from Versity, talking about organ and tissue donation, something really, really important.
Yes.
And it makes people squeamish, and I understand why, but it's still really, it's critically important.
You know,
it is.
Honestly, if you can somehow get over the squeamishness, talk to someone who's done it before. Like I said, go with a friend. That's how I started. Blood donation. Go with a friend, have some fun, get a treat, get a snack. And it's, yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about the Oscars quickly in the moments that we have left. I dipped in and out, and then today I got to see a whole bunch more of the acceptance speeches. I missed this, though. Al Pacino announced the Best Picture winner.
Great.
I have major respect for Al Pacino and his work as an actor, but we have to stop putting him on live things. He's just a little lost.
The rule is, if you can still have a baby, you can give the awards away at the Oscars.
Yeah, well, he can still do that. He announced the Best Picture winner without naming all the nominees.
He couldn't be bothered.
I think he was confused. I really do. I think he was confused.
He's gone to this awards. They've given him the trophy before. He's not new to this.
I don't know. I saw him at the Golden Globe Awards a few years ago, and he was getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. I thought they were going to have to get a hook.
I mean,
get him off the stage. Jeez.
I think that comes with a lifetime of being revered as the greatest in your field, where nothing... I think here's a few things. One, he's a man. Two, he was at one point a very handsome man. Three, very good at what he does. One
Absolutely.
Of the greatest actors of the past 50 to 75 years.
Yep.
you're given sort of an unfettered freedom to kind of do whatever you want as long as you're not a monster.
True.
So when you do have that freedom, you kind of do whatever you want with unfettered freedom, and you get Al Pacino in his early 80s, which has turned into this. He could play Tim Burton's grandfather.
You're right, he could, especially with the hair. Yeah. So here's some of the winners from last night's Best Picture: Oppenheimer.
Never heard of it.
Emma Stone got Best Actress for Poor Things. Apparently, the zipper on her dress broke as she was walking up the steps.
Oh, poor thing.
Best Actor: Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. Best Director: Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Yeah. Best Supporting Actor: Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. They just cleaned up.
Yeah.
And supporting actress, you were very happy about this.
Davine Joy Randolph.
Davine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers.
Such a good movie.
There was also something that happened last night that was kind of a throwback to an earlier Oscars from 1974. So, Calvin, let's play the clip of David Niven at the Oscars from 1974, just as he was about to make an award announcement.
Is a very important contributor to world entertainment, and someone quite likely...
Now a naked man comes out.
Whipping a peace symbol.
We're running across the stage.
The band is great.
Naked man.
That was almost bound to happen. But isn't it fascinating that... Probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings.
Ba-boom! David Niven with the swish.
That dry English wit.
He couldn't have handled it any better
than David Niven. I'm the most English man ever next to James Mason.
That was so wonderful. Well, last night there was kind of a parallel appearance by John.
A tribute,
shall we say. To the Streaker from 1974, involving Jimmy Kimmel, who was the host, and John Cena. Let's take a listen to that.
Can you imagine if a nude man ran across the stage today?
Yeah!
I said, can you imagine if a nude man ran across the stage today? Wouldn't that be crazy?
And here comes John Cena.
Jimmy!
In the nude. Mark,
I can't come there. I do the thing. What's going on? You're supposed to run across the stage.
I changed my mind. I don't want to do the Streaker bit anymore.
What do you mean you don't want to do the Streaker bit anymore? We're doing it.
I just don't feel right about it, man. It's an elegant event. You know, honestly, you should feel shame right now for suggesting such a tasteless idea.
It's supposed to be funny.
The male body is not a joke.
Mine is.
No, it's not.
Fine, just give out the award then, God. The worst.
So there's naked John Cena with a big envelope covering the critical areas, walking sideways over to the microphone.
Slowly.
With his little envelope.
Wearing Birkenstocks.
With Birkenstocks, yes.
Costumes. They are so important.
That was so maybe brilliant. To have him present the award for best costume. It was brilliant.
It seems like there was a lot of fun happening.
Absolutely. Cindy from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy. We only got a couple of minutes left. What do you want to say?
Well, I just want to say the best part of last night was when Jimmy Kimmel answered the supposed Trump text with, I'm surprised you're up because it's way past your jail time.
Yep.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. Kaboom!
Ba-boom! Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate it. Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel for three from the field.
That did happen as well. Of course, the former president could not stop himself from insulting Jimmy Kimmel and the job that he was doing. And so Kimmel saw it happen live. So, yes, he came back with a little bit of that.
A quick update. Earlier in the show, I asked people to call in and justify why the president should be able to make fun of people with speech impediments. No one has called yet. That's the president making fun of a man on live television, too. Fun dude.
All right. We have news coming up next. Thank you so very much to Colleen McCarthy with Versity for joining us today. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. Without you, we got nothing. Thank you for listening and calling and texting. It means everything. And I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.